Good morning, everybody. How you doing today? First Sunday of the year. What a great place to be, huh? All right. How about 801, please, and let's stand. 801. Some wonder, consider all the works thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And when I think that God His Son not sparing sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. Bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And I shall bow humble and and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the beautiful day You give us to come to Your house. Thank You for the sunshine, Lord, the little warmer temperatures. Thank You for our church, Lord. Our doors are open. Thank You for my church family, Lord, here today. Thank You for all that You've done for us, Lord, especially this past year as we recognize the new coming in.
Lord, we don't know how much longer you're going to put up with this old world, but Lord, I pray as we start another year that we would do it with great honor to you, Lord, and trust in you, Lord, that you'll take care of us, you'll watch over us, you'll meet our each and every need, Lord. Help us, Lord, in our church, and our church will grow this year, Lord, that we'll see some folks coming out, Lord, that we'll see souls saved, Lord, other decisions made for you, Lord, life-changing decisions, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just continue to work here. Be with our pastor today, Lord, as he's about to speak. Guide him, direct him. Give him the power that he needs, Lord, to deliver your message today, that it might speak to someone today, Lord. Thank you for this time, Lord. Be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Page 22, please. 22.
Thank you. okay. We serve a wonderful God. In His time, in His time, He makes all things beautiful. In His time, Lord, please show me every day as You're teaching me Your way, that You do just what You say. In Your time, in Your time, in Your time, You make all things beautiful. In Your time, Lord, my life to You I bring. May each song I have to sing be to You a lovely thing. In Your time.
Let's just sleep for a
minute. Okay.
Well, thank you, Sharon.
Amen.
Lord, by the way, all time is God's time. Happy New Year, everyone. I walked outside of our house last night. I retired for the year of last year about 10:45 last night, but the new year made it without me. But when I walked outside of the house this morning, I saw all kinds of confetti and things out in our yard. So Kim and the grandchildren must have welcomed the new year in high style. But anyway, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought when 2023 rolled around, I'd be old. But anyway, what are we going to do with this new year? Well, God's given it to us, and I'll tell you what, there's going to be things that will be happening this year, and the Lord wants to be in the middle of it. Unfortunately, this morning we have to have a short little time of a business meeting because our church is congregationally governed. I did not want to bring this up, and welcome to everyone again, especially if you're visiting. It's not normally like this. Sometimes it's worse. No, seriously, but we have had a decision that needs to be clarified here about either passing our offering plate or leaving it at the back of the auditorium. So this morning, I'm going to ask that the members here today would allow us to make a decision on that. So here's the question before us. If you want to see the offering plates continue to be passed through the congregation, you're going to want to vote yes, okay? And we'll have a time to say yes and a time to say no. If you want it to be left at the back on the table, then you'll want to vote no. Now, I'm going to need some help. We're going to need to do this. If it's close, then we'll have to show hands. So I'm going to ask this morning then for that show of hands. For all those that would like to see the offering plate continue to be passed, please say yes. And all those that would like to see it remain on the back table, please say no. All right, then we're going to have to do a show of hands. All that said yes, help me count this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, and no, well, maybe there was more than that. How many said no? Okay, well, the no's are not going to prevail this time, so the plate will continue to be passed. Okay? Now, there's one other thing. On Wednesday night at midweek service, there were several that would like to not have us not have services tonight. They were on the agenda. So we'll do the same thing now with just a raise of hands. For those that would, and this is, again, out of courtesy, if you normally don't come or weren't planning to come, you probably should not vote. But for those that would like to see the services canceled tonight, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think I see 4. For those that would like to have the service tonight, raise your hand. Okay, there are more than 4. So we will have that as usual tonight. Thank you for your cooperation on that. Anyway, it's good to have everyone here today. Good to see several people that are visiting. And we're always glad for everyone that comes through the doors here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Today, I just have one little thing I'd like to share as well before we get into the meat of things regarding communion today.
And for those of you that have been around here for a while, you know that we have not always had communion on Sunday mornings, but we've had it both on Wednesday nights in the past and also on Sunday evenings. In our last quarterly business meeting, there was a request that I preach more about communion, and that was a request that also was brought on about 9 months ago as well. And I did fulfill that request, and I will preach on this again next Sunday, but not today. But I want to reference two sermons for you in our archives that are on our website. And that would be the sermon from May 1st of 2022 that dealt with this requested message in depth. And the title of it is, Why You Should or Shouldn't. And that's involving communion. All right, also the message from 4:17 had an allusion to that, and it was the one about the road to Emmaus and communion with Jesus. So those two messages will give you those answers that I have preached, but I will revisit that one more time on the first Sunday of February before we take communion. So I wanted you to be aware of that this morning, and that will be handled in a manner, but already has been actually, and you can reference those messages if you're concerned about those things. But anyway, today we have an interesting message that may go on a couple of weeks. We'll see how it flows this morning. We're going to quit at 11:30 for communion. But the key and the title of the message today is The Keys to a Biblically Successful Church, Unity, Diversity, and Growth. So you have a note sheet to go along with that today with all the references on it. We are going to cover many of those. They're very important from Scripture. Because I know this, that God loves His church. And what is the church? Is it the building? It's His people, His sheep. We make up the body of Christ, and we are also the bride of Christ. So we're going to explore how that works and how Fruitland Baptist Church can become a more successful church than what it is today. There's some critical things that I believe we need to examine. So with that said, we're going to go to prayer. I also want to make it known today that our sympathies are extended to Kathy Hendricks at the loss of her sister this past week. And we always announce that for anyone that has family that has departed. But be in prayer for that family at this time. And we're going to go to prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for a new year. We don't know what this new year holds, but we know this, that you hold the year in store, Lord. It'll be under your authority, whatever takes place. But Lord, as I mentioned in my thought here, largely what happens this year is going to have a bearing on what we do with it. So I pray today, Lord, that we'll be challenged this morning about the local church and what you'd have for that and see real growth, Lord, real communion and real fellowship. Lord, we pray for souls to be saved, for our community to be reached, for there to be a fire, Lord, within our hearts and a love for people like none other. I pray today, Lord, that this will be a year of blessing and, Lord, one of great soul searching and, Lord, progress in our lives. Lord, teach us and help us, Lord, to stay close to you. We know that your adversary is going to want to separate us from you. He's going to want us to get negative about things and to be discouraged. But, Lord, we know that what is taking place around us is part of your plan, just like what Sharon sang about today. It's all done in your time, and your timing is perfect. So we acknowledge that today, Lord, and we want to bring you honor and glory because of that. You're a wonderful Lord. That's why we're here for worship, Father, to let you know how much we love you and how much we care about you, Lord, because you've been the good shepherd to us. So help us, Lord, with that message and to get it right. I pray today, Lord, the Holy Spirit would be in our presence and that he would jog the hearts of the people, Lord, including mine, to get it right before it's too late. We know this, Lord, we're one day closer today and 1 year closer to meeting you. As we studied this morning in Daniel chapter 7, Lord, there are many things on the horizon, and you will work your plan. And Lord, I pray that we'll be on the right side of that, on your side. So we thank you for that, for the message that's to be proclaimed. Now, Lord, today as we look into these things, may you lead us and guide us. May the Spirit have free course here. We always pray, Lord, if there would be one here today who is not in a personal relationship with you. We pray, Lord, that this might be the day they would yield. And, Lord, that they would receive you, receive that gift of salvation. And know, Lord, that they are in that personal fellowship with you and a walk that will never end but will last eternally. So for this and more, we give you thanks and praise this day. Now, Lord, I ask your help. I'm the one that's weak in all this, Lord, and I fully admit that. It's all by your power that anything gets accomplished. And I thank you for this opportunity now to address this flock. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, I've been led of the Spirit on this first Sunday of the new year to encourage us as members of the body of Christ. I believe there's no reason to be discouraged in 2023. There's really no need to be discouraged anytime with Jesus. Amen? Yep. We're here today as members of the body of Christ, the church, as born-again believers, to pursue with renewed vigor the success of Fruitland Baptist Church. If this is where God has allowed you and led you to come to fellowship with the believers, to be a part of this local body of Christ, everyone in this room, unless you're walking under the authority of Satan, should want to see this church succeed. So that's how we have to look at this morning. What is real success? And we'll explore that here as we go through this message. We want to see success to God's glory here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Now, first of all, let it be known that success is viewed and evaluated from two perspectives. And those two perspectives would be from God's perspective and from man's perspective. And let me tell you, if we're not in alignment with God, we'll have the wrong perspective as man. You understand that? How faulty we are in our thinking? Man tends to view success in temporal, superficial venues. In other words, I'll get into that in just a minute. But God looks at the external and internal strengths that are resulting in Spirit-led growth as His desire. So there's two polar opposites in the way these things might be looked at. But a successful church in man's eyes may involve people numbers. It might involve programs. By the way, if you look in the church world today, that's what you see a lot of. The goal to garner in great numbers. I believe the goal we should have here at Fruitland and in any successful Bible teaching believing church is to bring as many people in these doors as we can to hear the gospel. But the goal is that it would be brought to the glory of God, that no matter if we are big or small, program-oriented or not program-oriented, we would be doing our best with a heartfelt desire that is genuine for Jesus Christ. Anyway, programs, personalities sometimes take hold in churches. By the way, there's no one that's more important than another in the local church. Everyone is important in the local church. So things like finances, buildings, and you can go right on down the line, folks. That's what man sees in a church, but that's not what God sees. But the recipe for success in God's eyes comes from three key understandings. When understood and achieved, will be the basics of a powerhouse local church. And yes, I'm saying this, a local church that may only have 5 or 10 people can be a powerhouse of a church. It's not all about the glitz and the glamour that man sees. To begin with this morning, we're going to explore just a little bit, but I've given you a mathematic equation here. Please forgive me, our capabilities on our office computer do not allow me to use a division sign. So I had to use a slash like you would use in algebra. And so you may look at this equation that you have on your sheets this morning, that unity over diversity, but when you see a slash or over, it always means division. Okay? Now, I will stress some things about division this morning as I preach, but here's the equation. Unity divided by diversity multiplied by growth equals success. Unity is first, divided by diversity, and what I'm going to talk about this morning is that we're all a little different, in case you haven't noticed that. And I know you can say, well, Pastor John, you sure fit that bill. Well, you got it right, because we're all different. We're the same, but we have little differences. Okay? But multiplied by growth, and what I'm talking about here is not numerical growth, I'm talking about spiritual growth. When the Holy Spirit takes over your life and the Word becomes real to you, and it changes and transforms you, that will bring upon growth. And folks, let me say this conclusively, there is not one person in this room today that cannot grow. There is not one person in this room today that should not grow. That's where we find ourselves today, my friends. Will there be some that choose not to grow? Yes. And you have that choice. God is not going to force you to do anything. But as we talked about in our junior, senior high Sunday school class this morning, there is accountability with God for what we do or don't do. I want you to know that this morning. We will give an answer. And we are accountable to Him and how we handle His church. So unity divided by diversity, multiplied by growth, equals success. And this is success in God's eyes. That's what we're talking about this morning. Success would be strength and glory. We want to be a mighty fortress for our God. We want to be a group of people that brings glory to God. If we keep those goals in mind as what how we operate, there will be success in God's eyes of any given work, and that being the case for Fruitland Baptist Church. So you have a handout this morning, and we're going to look at a lot of scripture, but I promise you we're going to fold up if we have to and come back next week. And we'll make more handouts, but try to hang on to them if you can. But the first thing that we must remember for this equation for a successful church is there must be unity. There must be unity. Listen as I preach through this morning, and you will see the blanks that will be there on your sheet. I'll run through those twice, but we'll look at that. And there has to be unity. Now, let me just also clarify this. I do not believe in wokeism. And Fruitland Baptist Church is not a woke church. If you want to attend a woke church, you can go somewhere else because they're out there. But we are a church that's grounded in the Word of God. But yet we have to understand, when I use this word diversity, we are diverse. I'm not talking about woke diversity, about sinful lifestyles or sinful actions. I'm talking about people that are operating, that are blood-bought Christians, but may see certain things differently that are not key doctrinal issues. That's what I mean by diverse, because we're different. And you've already affirmed that I'm different. I make no apologies for that. You know, most of you probably know this. I'm but one vote away from being thrown out of here. But I'm going to continue to pray and proclaim the truth the best I can until that day comes, because that's what God sent me here to do. I'm not here to be political. I'm here to proclaim and to love people and to try to tend this flock. Anyway, unity. Here it is. Believers must remain a united body. Think of this, folks, yourself. Some of you in here have lost limbs, very likely. I've lost a few portions of my body. But the fact of the matter is, when we lose any portion of the body, it never performs the way it did before. Amen? You lose a hand. By the way, back in the days, a lot of men that farmed lost their hands in corn pickers. I could go in and tell you all kinds of stories about that, but you know what? Even though they received a device that they could use, it was called a hook, and you see some people like that yet today running around. Many times, if they're old people that look like me, they farm, they got their hands sucked into a corn picker. But you know, none of them will tell you that they operate just as well as they did the day that before they lost that hand. And that's the case with the church. But here it is. Believers must remain a united body in spite of our diversity, bonded by love to fulfill the Great Commission. In other words, folks, we don't see everything the same. But you know what? If it isn't a core doctrinal issue, we need to put up with each other. And I'm going to give you some reasons why that is the case. By the way, a bond. What do you think about when you think about bonds? Don't think about the bond market. 2022 has been a terrible year for the bond market. That's, in a sense, something that fits this. It's the glue that holds a company's finances together when they issue bonds to raise working capital. But the bond that I'm talking about here today is better shown in maybe what a woodworker or a masonry contractor might know. A woodworker knows that when you design a beautiful piece of woodwork from multiple parts, you have to have a bond on those parts, which is what? Glue. When I've been down in the shop class at L&M or at Wilton, they use a certain brand I never heard of, but I saw some young folks there putting together some breadboards before Christmas when I taught those classes. And they were clamping those cut pieces with glue. That's the bond that holds that board together. Folks, they have some fantastic epoxies and different glues today that hold things together very well. We need that glue in the church, my friends. We need that glue in the church. And that glue is the bond of love. If you're here involved with masonry work, laying brick or block and so forth, what you call a bond is the what? It's the mortar that you not only put between the bricks or the blocks, but that you pour down into them, and it makes a unified, solid structure. And folks, that's what we need in the church. That's how God designed it. And that mortar or that glue is God's love. It's our love for one another and God's love for us that holds this thing together called the local church. So let's talk about this just a little bit. And by the way, there are times, though, in churches where there has to be separation over false doctrine and issues such as that. Those are times when we need to address that in a church, and sometimes we even need to separate from it and from other believers over it. But those are certain things that, again, have to do with genuine doctrinal problems that we have. But let me just talk about the diversity that I believe is involved in our bodies, which are known as the local church today. This is one thing we ought to always remember. By the way, I'm just going to preach this, and if I come back next week, that's how it's going to be. We probably are not going to get this done today. But folks, in case you haven't noticed this, there is a difference in spiritual maturity in the church. Now, I'm not going to tell you today exactly where I think I am maturity-wise, but I can just say this, and I believe it would apply to all of us. We could use more maturity. We're lacking growth. And by the way that we lack growth, it's the root of that is because we're not coming to supper. We're not feeding on the Word of God. The food of the Word of God is what will grow us and will transform us. And so I am telling you today, while not trying to make an assessment of where I am on that list, I need more growth. And I believe all of us would say that. Folks, you don't have a right to judge someone that has been newly saved about all the ways they look at things. Because you know what? If you've been saved for 80 years, someone that's been saved for 8 months may not have the same advantage that you have had. Give it a break. Huh? When someone is bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, they're a part of the body. Who are you to say who should be here or who should be here? We don't have that right. And by the way, I believe there's some people that have been saved for 8 months that probably have more maturity than some that have been around for 80 years. You can't discount the way God works. You just let Him work. Back off. You've seen those mud flaps that were popular in the 70s with Yosemite Sam with the two pistols crossed. Remember that? Back off. Anyway, be careful about things like that. Be careful about non-biblically specified preferences. I call these Romans 14 issues, folks. We don't have to agree on everything to the jot and tittle. Some people see it differently in the body of Christ. And if we are not willing to accept that diversity, it's our problem. But, you know, as I said, we must agree to agree on key doctrines. If someone says, well, I don't believe Jesus was born of a virgin, well, I've got a problem there. And so do we as a body, because that is what? That's a diseased part of that body. And we must what? It's like today, for most anyway, if you have been diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, by the way, we're all under a life-threatening illness. No, I'm serious. Our life could be removed from us immediately today, for we're fragile. But you would want to do what? You would want to address that to see it either corrected or in some cases with cancer and so forth, you go through surgery. You have to remove it. You have to separate it. That's legitimate in the body of Christ. But folks, it's not legitimate if it isn't that type of a situation. There's all kinds of preferences. I'm not going to dig into that deeply today. You can think about it. You know, most churches struggle generationally. The old people don't want to do it the way the young people did, and the young people don't want to do it the way the old people did, and there's a clash. Well, let me just tell you something, folks. You got to work together. You know why we still sing some of the traditional old hymns here at Fruitland? Because they're good hymns. You know why we need to have and do have some more modern things here at Fruitland? Because there's good things there too. So accept it. You know, if it isn't doctrinally out of whack, it's not all about you or me. There's all kinds of other things that divide churches, income stratas. You know, we've seen that throughout time. People that have the big bucks control the church. Well, that's not the way it's done here at Fruitland. By the way, I should think some people would be happy about that. Everyone has a place here. Your income strata does not matter. Your ethnicity does not matter here. Even though, let's face it, we're nominally what? A Caucasian church. But you know what? I've never seen us deny anyone that's come here in a different color, at least since I've been here. Everyone is here, every ethnicity. What about cultural divisions? Well, you know what? There's differences. I'll tell you a big cultural difference that I used to see when I was a young guy. That's if you came from farm or from the city. The farm people were kind of thought of down here. Have you ever, you know, I'm going to share this with you. Some of you from Wilton might know this family, but I won't mention the name. They milk cows. They did not have a lot of money. They went to school with manure on their shoes and on their clothes. Because you know what? Those kids were up at 5 in the morning milking cows. And the city people did what with them? We don't want anything to do with you. You smell. We don't get up at 5 o'clock, you weirdo. We get up at 7 and just get ready to go to school. People separate themselves over those kind of things. And it happens in the church. Does it not? Am I wrong in my thinking here today? All kinds of cultural differences. And we just don't fit with those people. By the way, that's a good thing to ask yourself here at Fruitland. Do you fit and do you jibe with the people at Fruitland? I think the answer to that in many cases is no, we don't. And that is to our weakness. And what a shame before Jesus Christ. We need to love each other, whether we're city, country, rich, poor, whatever the case may be. We need to look at this as Jesus looks at people. And he loves every person. Every person. And folks, I could go on with much, much more. But here it is, folks. God wants us to stay together. Unity at all costs, in spite of our differences. By the connection of love. Love. Love transcends a multitude of sins. Love is the bond. If we got it from the Lord and it's genuine in our hearts, it's the reason that says, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to continue to work for Jesus because he loves people and therefore I love people. So there it is. He wants us to stay together, unity at all costs, in spite of our differences, by the connection of love for each other as Christ loves us. Now let's look at some scripture. 1 Peter, and we're going to look at several scriptures this morning in our last 7 minutes or so. 1 Peter 3:8 through 12, because the Bible is chock full of these teachings. This isn't something that I've invented. This is what God's Word tells us. And there's many teachings here that fit in this. Let's start with 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 8 through 12. There is one more fill in the blank on this. I hope to get it this morning on this first part, and then we'll do the second and third keys next week, Lord willing. So here it is. Finally, Peter writes, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one to another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. By the way, what was Peter writing about preceding this in this chapter? He was writing about marriage. Any of you that are married in this room or that are contemplating it or that have been know that marriage is what? It's a blessed thing. But I'm not going to stand up here this morning and make it into something that it's not because it can be what? Oh, please. Can someone admit the truth? Marriage is not easy. Right? It takes work. There's heartaches that are involved with it. There's days that the door could shut for the last time. There's doors that get slammed. You know all this stuff. Don't give me your pious routine here this morning. And Peter taught about it too, but he says that's not the way you operate. Huh? He says this, you're one body. By the way, we're involved in a marriage if you're a saved person. Are you looking for your groom? Jesus is the groom. The believers, the church, are the bride of Christ. Think there might be a correlation here? By the way, for the most of us, you don't just give up when your marriage gets on the rocks. You what? You work on it, right? And that's what Kim and I, you know, I'm not going to tell you, we haven't had our, I mean, you've heard me. One day the Holy Spirit got a hold of me at the door. I said, Kim, we had a little tiff about something. I said, one of these days, one of us won't come back through this door. It could be today. Leah, that's not a shock, because it could happen to any of us. Remember this, if you've had a battle with someone, it could be your last battle. Do you want to leave on those terms? I told Kim, I don't want to leave on those terms. We had a great kiss, and we're still together going on 45 years. But it's because of what? The bond of love. The Holy Spirit would not let me leave that day before I took care of that. So he starts out, he says, think together, be of one mind. Leah, you okay this morning? Okay, good. Miss Stewart, like I call you at school. It's okay, we can laugh here at Fruitland, and you can laugh at me. You know, that's why I don't tell a lot of jokes, because I'm the biggest joke around. And you all know that. Be of one mind, having what? Compassion, one of another. Love as brethren. Be tenderhearted or pitiful, it says in the King James. Be courteous. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Who are we to squelch God's blessings? You know, if I had done that at that door and walked out that day, it would have been another weakening of Kim and I's union. Because I would have stopped the blessings of God had I left that day. No, we wouldn't have broken apart, but the point is, it needed fixed. And by the way, when you go to fix something, fix it sooner than later. Most people that come to marriage counseling, by the way, there should be marriage counseling for churches. There is. But most that get into trouble with their marriages have waited too long to fix it. But let me just say this, there isn't too long. It can always be fixed through Jesus Christ. Okay? Anyway, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no lies or telling lies. You remember that little song, keep your tongues from evil, keep your tongues, cha-cha-cha. Keep your tongues from evil, keep your tongues, cha-cha-cha. And your lips from telling lies, keep your tongues from evil, keep your tongues, cha-cha-cha. He that will love life and see good days, refrain his tongue. Let him eschew evil or turn away evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it or pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Folks, we've got to be very careful that we not work evil in the program that is God's church. Now I'd like you to turn to Colossians 3, 12 through 17, please. I would like us to take a look at all these together. We obviously are not going to get them done today, but you can look at them in advance, or if you can't be here. But Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Here again is a place where love is displayed as the bond or the connector that keeps us together. When we can't make it work for any other reason, remember God loved you and we need to love others. That's what he said. Isn't that the greatest commandments? Talk to me here, Fruitland. Love God. You got it? Anyway, here it is. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Paul writes, put on therefore as the elect of God. By the way, who are the elect of God? The saved. You didn't stumble into salvation. God called you to be saved, whether you know that or not today. That's what the Bible teaches. You could do no other. He says, beloved, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels, it says in the King James Version, you could insert there deep heartfelt thinking of mercy or conduct or action of mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Forbearing means what? If you talk to Kim, she's downstairs right now, she'd say, I have what with him for all these years? Come on. Lonnie said suffered, yeah. That fits too. She's put up with me all these years. But let me tell you a secret, because she's not up here. I put up with her too. And you can tell her that. And I'm going to continue to put up with her as long as God puts us together. You know, she was gone a couple days this week. It jogs your memory. Some of you that are alone here that have lost your loved mates, You know, when they're gone for a couple days, it makes you think, what will this be like? There'll be a day that one of us might be here alone every night. Man, don't. This is precious stuff, folks. It is. Forbearing one another, putting up with one another, and here, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know what, folks? It doesn't matter what the other party does, but we ought to forgive people, whether they ever do us or not. And I mean genuinely forgive them. And above all things, here's the word, put on charity. Charity in the King James Version is a better explanation than our English word love. Charity means what? Having pity and concern for someone and giving them something. Okay? Now I know love, agapeo, unconditional love, we can go on with all the theology, but here's the facts. We need charity. I'll never take charity. Well, if you've gone to Jesus Christ, you've taken charity. And it's the right kind of charity, folks. Above all these things, put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness. Perfectness in the King James Version means completeness. Love is what holds the whole thing together. Whether it's the mortar or the epoxy, the glues that you clamp the wood together with, or other things that you can compare to that, it's love that holds the whole thing together. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We live in a world that has no peace. It's because they don't, first of all, know the Prince of Peace, but they don't pursue peace. And the Bible says we should pursue peace with all people as much as lieth within us. That's found in the book of Romans. We should not go out expecting to have war with people. To the which also you are called in one body. In other words, he's talking about the church here again. And notice what he says there too. And be ungrateful. Help me. You've heard this before from this pulpit. Thankfulness is a barometer of your walk with Jesus Christ. If you're not thankful, even for the bad things, doesn't Romans 8:28 say, all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Yep, it fits. And then he concludes this. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed. Does that pretty well cover the whole gamut? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You know, I have a problem with someone. I have a problem with my wife. Well, shut your mouth and be thankful that you have her. The sandwiches won't taste as good without her. I'm struggling with my husband. Well, shut your mouth and be thankful. When he oils the hinges on the squeaky door, you don't have to listen to it anymore. Now, I know I'm being a little bit anti-woke there with sexist roles, okay? Because a guy can prepare a good sandwich, and I've seen Kim oil a door when I didn't get it done. She knows how to do that. You get what I'm talking about, right? You got it. Next week we'll come back to 1 Corinthians 13 and go down the line. But charity, love, is the bond. It's the connector that holds us together. Now with that said, we're going to go to communion. I told you again earlier, you can listen to these messages. I'll talk in depth on it again next month, Lord willing. But understand this today, folks, as we go to this. 1 Corinthians 11, which is the text that we'll use today, it's the latest text in Scripture about the Lord's Supper, about the fellowship, about communion. But we'll continue to explore this, but understand today, it is important what you do or don't do with communion, and if you do or don't take it. And some of that criteria is given in a vague way in 1 Corinthians 11. But we must be very careful, because this is a sacred thing about the bond of love between us and Christ as the local church. And what he tells us basically is this, is we need to be very careful what we do if we don't have the right motives behind it. And so just quickly as I say that, we have a time as this is passed out. We're going to sing for just a minute too as the deacons come forward. But consider where you're at with the Lord. It's not wrong to pass this by today and take a little time and get things straight. And you can listen to those messages, or we'll have it revisited next time. But if you're truly in fellowship with the Lord today, in fellowship with your fellow believers, that's what this is all about, the sum total of it. Jesus made that way of fellowship through his work on the cross, through his body and his blood. And that's what we'll memorialize today. Thank you for your good attention. Let's sing today verses 1 and 4 of the Old Rugged Cross as we prepare now for this time of communion.
Change, and I'd be the first one, one of the first ones to admit that I need to be changed. And so I'm going to share this verse with you folks and use it for part of my prayer. Without looking at your Bibles, do we know what 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 has to do with?
Yep. My people.
I'll go ahead and read the verse for us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And in saying this, I want to break this down in four verses. Number one, first I need to ask, may I ask, do you really want to be changed? And that's something between you and God that you can do today. What better time to ask God to change you on the first day of the year, you know? What better time? And this is something between you and God. And humble yourself by admitting your sin. Are we ready to humble ourselves? Number two, pray to God, asking for forgiveness. Three, seek God continually. Something I haven't been able to do in the last 2 or 3 months is to seek God continually. Four, turn from sinful ways. Turn from sinful behavior. Is part of my list too. To turn from my sinful behavior. True repentance is more than just talk. It is a changed behavior. So in saying that, that's my prayer for this new year for all of us, that we would take time out to ask God to change us. So,
thank you, Denny. And I might just add, right now is a good time to start. You know, these things are not going to help you with Jesus, but they are an indication of where we're at. Money. Aren't you thankful for today that wasn't the end of it when Christ offered his body, but he also offered his blood? And thankfully, his body and blood are available to us today. All you need to do is receive it, ask for it, say, I believe you, Lord, what you did. It's too good to be true, but it's the only thing that could be true. He's there for you today. Well, you heard it before. Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also, he took the cup. And Lonnie, I'm going to ask that you would thank the Lord and our Heavenly Father for sending him to shed his blood, the only thing that could cover our sins, that could remit it.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we come to church today, hear some preaching, but now partake in communion in remembrance of what our Savior did for us. Father, it's because of your love for us that you made a way through the sacrifice of your Son. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that he took the awful beatings that he did, Lord, his ultimate time on the cross. He didn't die, Lord. He gave up his life for us. Lord, no man on this earth could have suffered what he went through. But, Lord, he did it all for us. Thank you, Lord, that his blood covers it all. He doesn't have to do it again. Thank you, Lord, that we can recognize his love for us here today. Be with us, Lord, as we partake. Help us to remember what he did for us and who he is. And especially what he means to us, those of us in knowing the Savior. Thank you for his time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new testament or covenant or agreement in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." May we remember Jesus today in his blood. Today, as we leave this place, after I've given the benediction, take time to love one another. Take time to take an interest in one another. If there's someone you haven't met, take time to know the body of Christ. We'll explore that further as the year goes on about more intimate fellowship that we can have through him. By the way, that's what this is called, koinonia in the Greek, intimate fellowship with Jesus and one another. Let's pray to that end as we anticipate February in the year of our Lord, 2023. Let's stand this afternoon, or it's still morning yet. Let's stand this morning for the Aaronic benediction, and we'll be dismissed. "And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the throne of God, to the only all-wise God, our Savior and Lord, the Lord Jesus, I dismiss you now in Jesus' name. Amen."